birthday party. Just a three-year-old and his parents celebrating with a picnic in their backyard. The child clapped with joy as Daddy came out from the house with an armload of gifts. "Ooh, what do you think this one is?" Mommy cheered as she handed the boy a small box wrapped in clown paper. "I don't know." "Now, don't you think Ida would be pretty darned uncomfortable in such a small box?" Daddy joked. "That's not what I meant," the toddler giggled. "Daddy's being silly, isn't he?" "Yeah. Okay, now, open it up. Let's see what it is." Eyes gleaming with anticipation, the boy tore away at the present to find a toy race car. "Wow, isn't that neat?" Mommy said as she rolled the car across the patio for her child. "Vroom, vroom. Room, room," he echoed. And so the party went, the child tearing into his presence with the unbridled joy of the completely innocent, while Mommy enthusiastically applauded each new toy. There was a kite, a toy plane, a teddy bear, and everything else the three-year-old could possibly have hoped for. Finally, they had all been opened. Then Daddy had a surprise. "There's just one more thing. I'll be right back." He went back inside, returning this time with a tricycle with a bright red bow tied around the handlebar. Impossible as it seemed, the child's eyes lit up even brighter than before. "Yay! Daddy!" he screamed as his mother carried him over and put him on the seat. After the child finished pedaling around the yard in circles until he fell over in exhaustion, Mommy said it was time to cake. Time for cake. "I want to keep white," the child feebly attempted to sit himself back up. "Well, after you eat the cake, you'll have more energy so you can keep writing," Daddy said thoughtfully. "And doesn't that cake look good?" Mommy coaxed, picking him up to take him to the table. "Okay," the child gave in. As Mommy started putting candles on the cake, a fly came buzzing over, attracted by the scent of the sugar. As the insect prepared to make its landing, the infant crushed it with one tiny hand. Mommy and Daddy exchanged a worried look.
Evan!
"Time to get up. We got a long day ahead of us," Tiffany shook him awake. "You know, for a kid that don't talk, you're one loud sleeper." She pulled the car into a hotel. "Okay, this is DC. I'll go see if there's anything special we need to know about this Coxner guy." Evan nodded. Examining their accommodations, Tiffany said, "So, this is one of those free tells we've been hearing about. Just a bunch of rooms with unlocked doors." She walked up to a door. "This one seems empty. We'll stay here for the night. If you feel like doing one of your tune-up routines, try and keep it to less than a 4 on the Richter scale. And lock the door. I'll still be able to get in." He nodded again, then walked into the room. Tiffany went back to her car and drove off into the city. After a brief tour of the room, Evan also left. He began jogging through a nearby forest. After a few minutes, he started to take his run from the ground up into the trees. Lightly, he ascended to the highest branches, taking great loping strides from treetop to treetop. Then he let himself drop back down to dodge between the branches. Not a sound was made, and not a single leaf was disturbed. Eventually, Evan heard a faint buzzing some distance away. Following the sound, he found a wasp's nest. Coming to a halt, he balanced on the branch directly below it. Taking the nest in one hand, he threw it to the ground, shattering it. By the time it hit, the nest was empty. A mass of infuriated wasps was rapidly moving up through the tree at Evan. Stepping off the limb, he dropped down to meet them, grabbing a branch just in time to halt his descent about a meter and a half above the swarm. Snapping his feet down, he crushed 17 of them. Without losing momentum, he twisted his legs out and up. Letting go, Evan threw his body into a flat spin just over the cloud of wasps. They were immediately upon him, but the instant one landed to sting, Evan would twist away, swatting it with whatever part of his body he had attempted to land on. Flowing through the army of angry insects, he continued to fall. After a few seconds, he was underneath the angry swarm. As he fell, Evan pushed lines of air through no less than 3 wasps at a time. By the time he was 10 feet below them, the insects had changed direction, but could not close the gap. Evan let one foot catch a branch, and after bending his leg to absorb the momentum, launched himself back through the swarm. On this pass, through very precise use of the blazing palm, Evan set 16 pairs of wings aflame. Evan reached the peak of his leap just over the mass of wasps and began falling once again. To keep himself from losing the swarm again, Evan began to push off the lowest flyers with his feet of feather, killing his unfortunate stepping stones. After a few seconds of floating in the midst of the wasps in this manner, the swarm was all but eradicated. Only 20 or so bugs remained. These Evan obliterated with shattering strikes, rounding out the session. When the last of them crumbled to dust under his assault, Evan was off once again, gliding amongst the trees. Over the next few hours, as he wiped out 8 colonies of stinging insects, Evan fell into a trance of sorts. In this state, his mind left, searching for that of his target. Using some innate ability he never really understood, Evan could link himself in some strange way to his quarry. Once this link was forged, it was a simple matter for Evan to find his prey. After a few minutes of searching, he found Kevin Coxner. "Believe in love. It's just that I think most of the time, what we call love is bullshit." He paced back and forth, his fists clenching and unclenching. "Kevin," Julie sat on a couch, completely calm. "Why is it you're so idealistic when it comes to politics, and yet so cynical when it comes to love?" "I'm not fucking cynical. I'll tell you what's fucking cynical. Cynical is when you're madly in love with someone as long as you keep fucking. But once that stops, they're the spawn of Satan. It's when you decide you're going to spend the rest of your life with someone just because you're scared to be alone, and you call that love." Kevin stopped pacing to look at Julie. "When you can stare love straight in the eye and turn away from it just because you don't want to risk losing a best friend. That's cynical. So the problem is that the rest of the world just doesn't understand true love the way you do. Is that it?" Julie was beginning to show some signs of irritation. "Not that you've never really given it a chance." Her last words hung in the palpable silence that followed them. "Don't you ever say I haven't given love a chance. I've given it every chance I know how to, every time I found it. Or don't you remember?" "Really? Have you ever really given love a chance?" Julie prudently kept the thought to herself as Kevin started pacing again. "But the thing is, you can't give love a chance by yourself. And every time I try to give it that chance, that other person I need never really seems so keen on the idea. So yeah, I'm bitter. 32 years of getting shot down by every love I've had since my high school crush has a tendency to make someone bitter. But I am not cynical. Cynical is when you're willing to settle for bullshit because you just don't believe in the real thing anymore. So if it's not the kind of love you want, it's bullshit then? Is that what you're saying?" Julie was starting to shake just a little. "No. Every time I found love, it hasn't been the kind I've wanted. But every time I've took it the way it was, it just makes me sad that every time I find love, I can't convince the person I found it with to take a chance with me. So just because you can't get laid, you're calling all love a lie. How very uncynical of you. Julie, I think we both know I'm capable of getting laid. But whenever I try with someone I actually love, now that's where the problems start. So is that what I'm getting wrong? Am I mistaken to think I should love people I'm making love to? Because if that's the case, then I really wish everyone would stop acting like there's supposed to be some sort of connection there. I mean, it's really fucking with my head trying to get those two things to go together. If that's what I'm doing wrong, I wish someone would just let me know. That's not it. It's just that kind of love, it's hard to make it work, and no, it's hard to make the fairy tale ending work. It's hard being in love. But when there actually is love, there is no making it work. It just is, and all you have to do to make it work is let it in. Well, if that's all there is to it, then why haven't you gotten it to work yet? But I have gotten it to work, more times than I care to count right now. It's always worked. Like I said, my problem's always been not getting a chance at the making love part of it. So then it hasn't worked. No, it just hasn't been what I've wanted. And the last thing love's about is what I wanted.